भूल जाएंगे हर हम तेरा न भूलेंगे, करबला न भूलेंगे, करबला न भूलेंगे।
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي جعل الحمد مفتاحا لذكره وسببا للمزيد من فضله ودليلا على آلائه وعظمته. والحمد لله الذي هدانا إلى ولاية الإمام زماننا، ثم صلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين أرواحنا له فداء. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء ويجعلكم خلفاء الأرض، أإله مع الله قليلا ما تذكرون. صدق الله العلي العظيم.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
First, I give my condolences to each of you on the shahadat of Imam Hussein, his family, and his companions. As we mentioned last night, that this ayah, which is verse 62 of Surah An-Naml, that we are quite familiar with, أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ يَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ, that this is the dua of Imam Zaman, Ajal al-Faraj al-Sharif, that he will recite this upon his dhuhur. As we are perhaps quite aware that this is one of the most powerful du'as in and of itself, but one of the secrets of that, why is this so effective, this particular statement, أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ. Imam At-Tabatabai in Tafsir al-Mizan, rahimahullah, he states that مُضْطَرُّ, someone who is in this state of distress or need, or he feels this haja, in Farsi you say bichare, someone dastushtenge, that he doesn't have something, he needs something. This is a state in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he answers that dua, that if someone is asking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that state, that they feel that there's no hope other than in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he answers that dua. So whenever we want to have our dua answered, that if we call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that state, as if we are muftar, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will answer, he will respond. أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرُ, who is that? Who is the one who answers the dua of the muftar? It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one of the secrets of dua is to make dua in that state. And it's very interesting, and this is something that I have seen and I have experienced, that quite often we recite this dua on behalf of someone else. Someone is in difficulty, someone is in distress, or someone else is in need, and we recite this together. أَمَّا يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرُ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he doesn't say أَمَّا يُجِيبُ الْمُسْلِمِ الْمُضْطَرُ, that individual who is a Muslim and who is in distress. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he makes it general. أَمَّا يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرُ, whichever individual, Muslim or not Muslim, but that individual is from the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that individual's in distress. Yet it has happened and has occurred that I was familiar with someone who had a friend, wasn't Muslim, but they recited this for them, and they had people to request to recite this for this individual. The person was in a very bad state, illness, sick, but after this dua was recited on behalf of that individual, his health changed, and he was better, in a better state. So, أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرُ. It's not simply for Muslims. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the rahmah, the mercy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has for His creation. But nonetheless, the point is that when we recite our du'as in that state of muhtar, that we are bichari, that we are in need, that du'a is answered. And thus we should, at each and every time that we raise our hands and we recite du'a, especially for the reappearance of Imam Zaman, Ajla Faraju Sharif.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil faraju.
That when we ask Allah, Allahumma kulli waliyyika, we should recite it in the state that we're muhtar. When we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ajil faraju, recite it in the state that you're muhtar. That without your Imam, you're bichare, you're in need. You're in hajat, there's something that's missing. And in fact, this is also what we learn from one of the du'as that we recite for Imam Zaman. That we recite that, O Allah, nashku alayka faqta nabiyyina wa ghaybata waliyyina. That we're complaining. That we are missing our Imam. In fact, some of our ulama, they have stated that individual who his tawajjuh, his attention is always upon his imam, the imam of his time, he is in the state of muhtar. He feels that he's lacking something, he's in need of something. That though whatever comforts he has or whatever he has in this world is not enough, he wants his imam. And so when we call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that state. And it should not be something that we call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at times in that state, because unfortunately quite often when we recite this أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرُ, it's often when we are in need or someone we know is in need, someone has fallen ill. But this should be a constant thing. Not like the individual who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he speaks about in the Quran, that individual is on a ship. The ship is about to sink, and when the storm comes and he's in the ocean, and he's thinking he's going to drown, he calls upon Allah, Ya Allah! And as soon as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves that person, gives that person salvation, then he forgets about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Goes back to his normal routine. When we think about Imam Zaman, when we ask for about Imam Zaman, Allahumma kulli waliyyika al-hajj ibn al-Hasan, this should be something constant on our mind. The dhuhur of our Imam. This will help us want to prepare for the reappearance of Imam Zaman, Ajal Faraju Sharif, but also it will help us even before that time. Having that bond with the Imam of our time. And this is something that it occurs. It's not something of the past year. Definitely one of the stories that I mentioned about one of the ulama of during the time of the first Shah during the Constitutional Revolution in Iran. But even today, even now, one of our scholars, Abiyat Shirazi, Salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil.
he states, and this is on Shia TV, shiatv.net, one of our ulama from England, a younger scholar, he said about 30 years ago that one of the students of the Hausa is in a very difficult situation. Of course, in the Hausa, you don't get a lot of money, but he was in a very difficult situation, in need, that he didn't have enough money to buy some of the things that he needed for his house, take care of his family. And when Mahdi Shirazi, he heard this, he said that this is the time that you need to connect to your imam, to the imam of your time. That whenever you ask for anything, seek to wrestle with the imam of your time. So that even from the simplest of things, like salt, anything, you should seek to wrestle with the imam of your time. That everything that we have is from the barakat of Imam Zaman Hajjah Farid Sharif. So he mentioned this to the student. This is 30 years ago. He said that at that point, the student, he went into his room, and he did not mention to Mahdi Shirazi what is it that he needed. But he just said, I needed a number of things. So he said he went with this intention that he will make tawassul with Imam Zaman for his hajat. He said, but the first thing he did, he sat and he began to write what his hajat were. That, oh, he needed rice, he needs some oil, he needs some eggs, some bread. Before he finished writing on a piece of paper, this is before he even made the tawassul, he was writing, what is he going to ask for? What is he going to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for and make tawassul with Imam Zaman? Before he even finished, there was a knock at his door. He opened the door, there was someone holding the bag. He said, these are things that you needed, that you wanted. And even in that, he found even the last thing which he had not even completed writing, it was in the basket. This is when we create that bond with the Imam of our time, then we benefit from the Imam of our time. This is something that the Imam himself, he stated that in the time of Ghaiba, he says, you benefit from me just as you benefit from the sun that's behind the clouds. On a cloudy day, you don't need to turn on your headlights. On a cloudy day and the sun is out, you still can see. It's not dark. The sun is not directly shining upon you, but is illuminating the path. So at no time should we think that, oh, our imam is not with us, but at the same time, we want to see him. We want the sun to shine. We want to see directly this sun, this shining light. So we have to establish that bond. And as we mentioned, that this verse, Amma Yijib, and a little bit prior to that, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he guides us on how to establish that bond. قُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ وَسَلَامُ عَلَىٰ عِبَادِهِ الَّذِينَ اصْطَفَىٰ. That say Alhamdulillah, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the guidance of your imam. And give salams to your imam, meaning constantly establish that relationship with him. Because the imam himself, he is trying to establish a relationship. The imam himself, as we mentioned, that he is, that on one hand, we are muhtar, in need, that we want our imam. On the other hand, he is muhtar. Not that he needs anything, but one of the conditions of his dhuhur, his reappearance, is that he will have 313 companions. And the imam himself, he makes dua for this. He makes dua for the state of his Shia. Those who have at least testified, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, Aliyun Waliullah.
Allah salli ala Muhammad wa Muhammad wa ajal.
That when the imam of our time, he is trying to reach out and he is trying to make this connection. He is the one who is making dua for us, that in our hearts, do we not sincerely make dua that Allah, make me also among those companions. That when we establish such a relationship with the Imam of our time, and as some of the students, they said that before each and every action, they act a little, you know, of course you start with the Bismillah, but they also make tawassul with the Imam. Ya Hujjat ibn al-Hasan, adrikni. That's, oh, Hujjat ibn al-Hasan, adrikni. Oversee my work, oversee my actions. And if we are making such a statement, if we are so conscious of our Imam, then imagine, what would our actions be like? Would our actions be such that we would do things that would displease the Imam? Then we say, yeah, Hujjat ibn al-Hasan, adrikni. Observe me, look at me, watch me, guide me, aid me in my actions. When we lose consciousness of this, when we lose consciousness that our a'mal, just as during the time of Rasulullah, the a'mal of every abd, every servant was presented to Rasulullah, same thing with our Imam. Our actions are presented. He sees our actions. That when we say, Ya Hujjat ibn al-Hasan adrikni, that we are becoming conscious of that. We are becoming aware of that. That my actions and what I do today, what I will do tomorrow, my actions, whether it is good or whether it is bad, is presented to the Imam. He knows. He knows our state. So we should call upon him so that we may again have consciousness of this, that inshallah he will make dua for us, that we can become among those 313s, or at least that we can become among those Shia, those followers of the Ahlul Bayt that we should be. As we quite often we pray for Allahumma ja mahya mahya Muhammad wa Muhammadin. We cite this in Ziyarat al-Ashura. That, oh Allah, make my life like the life of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. But in order to have such a life, we have to be conscious of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Among the du'as of Imam Zaman Ajal Faraju Sharif,
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad wa Ajal Faraju.
So that we are clear about the connection that even the Imam or his consciousness of us and our actions. He says, Allahumma anjizli wa'adi wa atimimli amari wa thabbit wata'ati wa mla'il arda biya adlan wa qista. This is dua of Imam Zaman. He says, O Allah, anjizli wa'adi, that hasten that promise that you have promised, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made that promise that Imam Zaman, he will come and he will fulfill the earth with justice, as it has been filled with injustice. So Imam Zaman, he's asking Allah that hasten this. Just as we are calling upon Allah, Allahumma ajjal li waliyika Hujjat ibn al-Hasan. Ajjal faraja. Imam, he's also praying for that. He understands the difficulties that the believers are facing. He understands the difficulties of the Shia of Ahlul Bayt. Just as the people of Kufa, they called Imam Hussein alayhi afdhalus salatu wassalam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjal
faraja. SubhanAllah, if you get a chance, read what they were saying. Read the letters of the people of Kufa. They were telling Imam Hussein, hurry! Ajla ilayna, come to us quickly! Laysa lana imam. This is actually the words of Laysa lana imamun. That we don't have an imam. There's no imam with us. Hurry! So you see that this is, as I said, this story of Karbala was meant for us in a time that our imam was. But when we call the Imam, how will we act? That when we call the Imam, is our call to the Imam sincere? Are we calling the Imam in a state that truly we're muhtar? that we are in need, that we want this Imam to come. The Imam himself is praying that Allah hasten this promise that you have given. وَأَتْمِمْ لِي أَمَرِي and make my affairs complete. Complete this command that you have given to me. وَثَبِّتْ وَطَعَتِي وَطَعَ is in Arabic they say أَبْنَاء السَّبِيلِ مِنَ النَّاسِ that those who, again, they are following, those who are on the same path that you're on. So Imam Zaman, he's saying, وَثَبِّتْ وَطَعَتِي those individuals who are on the path that I am on, those individuals who are following me, who are claiming that they are following me, وَثَبِّتْ وَطَعَتِي that make them firm. Make their iman firm, make their sincerity. If we're calling upon the Imam, that Allah hasten the reappearance of this Imam, the Imam himself, he's coming, he says, make those individuals firm in their faith. Make those individuals firm and sincere in their actions, in their call, so that it will hasten the reappearance of Imams. Not like those who are, again, in Kufa. They call the Imam. They said that we don't have an Imam. Come, hasten. But when the Imam came, they left the Imam. They left him. وَمْلَا الْأَرْضَ بِيَّ عَدْلًا وَقِسْتًا and Allah filled this earth with justice by my hands, by my actions. And again, by those who are aiding the Imam. Fill this earth with justice by my actions. What the Imam, he requires from us, that if, again, we're seeking that consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're seeking that consciousness of the Imam, we're calling upon this Imam as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is guiding us to. قُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ وَسَلَامٌ عَلَىٰ عِبَادِهِ الَّذِينَ اصْطَفَىٰ give your salams, give your salams. In other words, create that relationship. If we are attempting to do this, then we must make our feet firm upon the path of Imam Zaman and upon the path of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad wa ajil faraj.
One of the things that is required from that, in that, and making ourselves firm, is our unity. As Shi'atu Ahl Muhammad, as Shi'atu Ahl Bayt, as Shi'atu Imam Zaman Ajil Faraj Sharif. That if we're going to be firm, thabit, if we're going to be firm, we must have unity. And this is not something that's coming from, this is coming from the Imam himself. Imam Zaman himself. He's the one who states, لَوْ أَنَّ أَشْيَاءَنَا وَفَّقَهُمَ اللَّهُ لِتَاعَتِهِ عَلَى اِجْتِمَاعٍ مِنَ الْقُلُوبِ فِي الْوَفَاءِ بِالْأَحْدِ عَلَيْهِمْ لَمَا تَأَخَّرَ عَنْهُمُ الْيُمْنُ بِلِقَائِنَا وَلَتَعَجَّلَتْ لَهُمْ السَّعَادَةِ بِمُشَاهَدَتِنَا SubhanAllah, he says, لَوْ أَنَّ أَشْيَاءَنَا وَفَّقَهُمَ اللَّهِ that if, only if, our Shia, those who follow us, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them success in obedience, in obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if they were united, عَلَىٰ اِجْتِمَاعٍ مِنَ الْقُلُوبِ if their hearts were united in fulfilling their covenant, فِالْوَفَاءِ بِالْأَحْدِ عَلَيْهِمْ the covenant that is upon them. Then, لَمَا تَأَخَّرَ عَنْهُمُ الْيُمْنُ بِلَقَائِنَا then the promise of meeting us, the promise of this dhuhr, the promise of seeing the Imam of your time, وَلَا تَعَجَّلَتْ لَهُمَ السَّعَدْ بِشْمُشَهَدَتِنَا, it will not be delayed. That promise will not be delayed. If what? بِإِجْتِمَاءٍ مِنَ الْقُلُوبِ فِي الْوَفَاءِ, that if we were united in fulfilling that covenant and that oath that we have with Ahlul Bayt, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This dhuhr, the reappearance, would not be delayed. Our unity together, and that covenant that we have, one of the things that indicates that covenant, again, we recite it in SubhanAllah, everyone who comes and mourns for Imam Hussein, they recite this too. They recite it and remind it of that covenant. That when we say, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah,
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil,
that we will follow the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is delivered to us through the Prophet Muhammad, through his Ahlul Bayt. That is a covenant. And we're reminded of this in Ziyarat al-Ashura. Almost every Shia recites this. One of the lines that we recite, Allahumma inna nataqarrabu ilayka, that nataqarrab ila Allah, that we seek closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa ilaykum, and we seek closeness to you, meaning Imam Hussein, Ahlul Bayt, bimuwalatikum wa muwalati waliyikum, by holding fast to the walayat of Ahlul Bayt and holding fast to the walayat of those who hold fast to the walayat of Ahlul Bayt. Taqarrabu illallah thumma ilaykum bimuwalatikum wa muwalati waliyikum. Subhanallah. Meaning that each and every one of us, we have walayat over one another. And of course, those not walayat that we have over one another, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions, المؤمنون المؤمنات بعضهم أولياء بعض يأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر, that the believing men and believing women, they have walayat and authority and guardianship over one another based on the principle that they are doing amr bil ma'ruf wa nahy anil munkar, based on the principle that they are guiding one another towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are enjoining them for what is good and preventing them from what is wrong. And holding fast to that covenant, to this idea of walayat, this will hasten the reappearance of Imam Zima. Not simply say, well, hey, I believe in Ahlul Bayt and I have a walayat of Ahlul Bayt, but those who, again, who hold fast to the walayat of Ahlul Bayt, we reject their walayat. No, subhanAllah. We say, أَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَى اللَّهِ ثُمَّ إِلَيْكُمْ بِمُوَالَاتِكُمْ وَمُوَالَاتِ وَلِيُّكُمْ. And in order to do Amr bin Ma'ruf, which is the basis for that walayat, for the basis that we have walayat over one another, that the first condition is that you know what is right and what is wrong, so that you can enjoin what is right, you can prevent what is wrong. And of course, those who have more knowledge of what is right and what is wrong, their walayat is greater. So, as an example, that yes, you have walayat over me, I have walayat over you. That if you see me doing something wrong, then it's your responsibility, it's your duty to advise me. If I see that you're doing something wrong, it's my duty to advise you. If perhaps there's something that from the responsibilities and duties that you're not aware of, your salat, the doubts in salat, about fasting, but I know that, then that means that my responsibility over you is greater. Why? Because I know that, oh, well, you made this mistake, so it must be corrected. Perhaps you didn't have understanding of that or awareness of that. Perhaps you didn't read the books of fiqh. So therefore, I have a greater responsibility in that regard. Likewise, our mujtahideen, they have a greater responsibility, greater wilayat, greater authority. And when we, again, even the concept of wilayatul faqih is because he has understanding of the rules, fiqh, ijtima'i, our social relations, political relations, that's how we should be. Unfortunately, we see that at times this wilayat is established, it is there, but some, they reject, they refuse. They say, oh, no, I can think for myself. Yes, you can think for yourself. There's no control in it. Why? Because, yes, he has a right over you, you have a right over him. But based on Amr ibn Ma'ruf and Nahi ibn Munkar, what is correct according to the teachings of the Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhim afdhalus salatu wassalam. That is the basis, that is the foundation of the wilayah. Not simply because someone wants a position, someone wants power. No. But based on the teachings of Quran, based on the teachings of Ahlul Bayt alayhim afdhalus salatu wassalam. In fact, just to give an example of this statement of Imam Zaman, and subhanAllah, very interesting. At least in Arabic, when he says, "Low anna ashya'ana." On one hand, this indicates on a state of this unity. Low means if. But in Arabic, there's another word that means if. Either, if. But the Imam, he uses lo. Why does he use lo instead of either? Either is used when you know that something is going to happen. Either ja'a nasrullahi wal fath. That when the aid and the help of Allah came and the victory was there, think that this thing did happen. Will happen. But when you say lo, means that this thing will not occur, or is not occurring, or it will occur very slowly. لو كان فيهما آلهتان لفسدتا. If there were two lords, there were two gods in this world, لفسدتا, then this earth will be destroyed. Lo, meaning that it's impossible, it's not there. So therefore, this earth will not be destroyed. So the Imam, he says, "Lo anna ashya'ana." If, only if. In other words, that it is not happening in his time, and it has not happened, or it will be some time before that happens. So in other words, our unity upon the fulfilling that covenant of following Ahlul Bayt, fulfilling that covenant of our reliance over one another, of having unity, keeping each other on the path of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad wa ajil.
And that was the duty and responsibility of Musab ibn Aqil when he went to Kufa. Because when we examine that event, Musab ibn Aqil, he didn't have any doubt about the events that were going to take place. It had been prophesied. Musab ibn Aqil from the household of Abu Talib. When the household of Abu Talib mourned and cried for Imam Hussein, even before the Shahadat of Imam Hussein, it is impossible to think that Musab ibn Aqil, he didn't know that this was going to happen. No, he knew. But he was fulfilling his duty and his responsibility. That such individuals, they made a call to the Imam. So he went to see that. Is there wafa? Is there wafa bil ahd? Will they fulfill that covenant? If they had filled that covenant, then Karbala would not have happened. No. Only if. And subhanAllah, such an indication, even from Emir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajah.
It confirms this. And this comes in one hadith that is narrated in Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam after the events of Karbala. One individual came to him. He says, Ya ibn Rasulullah. Oh, son of Rasulullah, I heard from your grandfather, meaning Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib. He says, I heard from your grandfather that he said, he says, and your grandfather does not lie, that your lineage does not lie. He said that if, or he said that after me, meaning after he would pass away, he says, after me, he says, by such and such years, he says, يَقُومُ قَائِمُنَا. He says, the Qa'im of Ali Muhammad, he will come. And so he asks Imam Sajjad, he says, what happened? Why is it not such that the Qa'im of Ali Muhammad did not come when Amir al-Mu'mineen said he will come? And he will establish justice upon the earth. Imam Sajjad, alayhi salatu wasalam, he replied, he says, because ghadab Allah. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he became angry. The wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came because Imam Hussein was martyred. Of course, Imam Ali, he knew that Imam Hussein would be martyred, but it's the example that he's putting, that if the Shia, if they fulfill their oath and their duty, then the Subhur would come. The Imam would appear. Justice would be established. But that covenant was not fulfilled at that time. And we call upon the Imam. But we should call on him in a state that we're muhtar, and also this awareness that we must fulfill the covenant. Even in our time we have, again this example, even of a call or even somewhat of a similar situation as when Musab ibn Aqil, he went forth to call people to that covenant. And we find this again in the words of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib. In the hadith of Amir al-Mu'mineen, he states that يَقُومُ رَجُلٌ or يَخْرُجُ رَجُلٌ مِنْ قُومٍ يَدْعُ النَّاسِ إِلَى الْحَقِّ وَيَتْبَعُهُ جَمَاعَةٌ وَيَتْبَعُهُ قَوْمٌ. He says, they will rise, they will come, an individual from قُوم. He will rise and he will call people towards haq, towards truth. And some will follow. Hadith is a little bit longer, but this is the point I'm making. has not someone come from Qum? Has not Imam Khomeini rose from Qum and he called people to stand upon truth, the path of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad?
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad wa ajil faraj.
To stand upon the path of Imam Zaman. And in fact, this one statement that I heard while being a student in Qum, that I have not, unfortunately, I have not read this in any books. There's a number of books that are published with the statements of Imam Khomeini, but sometimes there are some statements, as our teachers, they say, they go from chest to chest. They haven't been written, but they go from chest to chest. And this statement, unfortunately, I haven't found it anywhere. And they said Imam Khomeini said this, but those some individuals who were the students of Imam Khomeini or students of the students of Imam Khomeini, they said that he mentioned this. He says that he had no, he says that he was just fulfilling his responsibility and duty. And he says, and even if we establish this government, he says, even if it doesn't last to the time of Imam Zaman, this will be great, this will be, he says, even if it doesn't last, he says, the only thing that I'm concerned that it will give time for those who want to be the followers of Imam Zaman, that they can come, that they could at least have some tarbiyah, some training, some at least some safe haven for some time so that they can focus, so that they can prepare themselves for Imam Zaman. Then he says, even if it doesn't last, but his whole concern was Imam Zaman. That perhaps there will, some people will come, and they will come, and they will prepare themselves for Imam Zaman. In this place. This is our focus that we should have on Imam. That what Imam Khomeini wasn't for himself. Even it's lasting, he says, if it doesn't last, I don't care. But what I care about is that if some will come and they will have an opportunity to take advantage of this situation to become, to help themselves, to train themselves, to prepare themselves for the Zuhur of Imam Zaman. To prepare ourselves, we must be firm on that path. To prepare ourselves, again, means to follow the guidance of Ahlul Bayt. To follow, again, the guidance of those who have the wilayat of Ahlul Bayt. They're not trying to lead you to some other place. No, they're trying to lead you to the Ahlul Bayt. Unfortunately, some come and they side with those who are the enemies of the Muslims. Actually, they themselves say, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, but they join with those who attack the Muslims, to go against the reliance of the Muslims. And that's what happened in Karbala. That's what happened when Ibn Ziyad, he came to Kufa. They wrote to Imam. Come, we have no Imam. But then they sided with Ibn Ziyad against Imam. Focus should be on the Imam of our time. And if till now we have not fulfilled that duty, then we should think about fulfilling that duty. Perhaps we made mistakes, but it's not too late to correct those mistakes. it's not too late to get upon the path of the Imam of our time, to make tawassul with the Imam of our time. Just as one individual, he did as the Imam, as he left from Mecca, going towards Kufa. And he met with Hur ibn Yazid al-Ra'ah, who stopped him along the path, but we know that Hur himself, he made tawassul with his Imam once they reached the Karbala, before that battle took place, to change the directions of his path. That if we have not fulfilled that duty to the Imam of our time, let us be like Hur, who changed his way, who changed his way and sacrificed himself for the Imam. That we too can make such a sacrifice. But after Hur had encountered Imam Hussein on the way, not allowing Imam Hussein to go back. He says, I cannot allow you to go back. This was the orders that Hur had at that time. He says, but I can accompany you to Ibn Ziyad. This was his orders. But as Imam Hussein and Hur, they began that journey towards Kufa, there was a place in a Sayyid that the horse of Imam Hussein stopped at this place and it would not move forward. Imam Hussein, he asked, what is this place? What is the name of this land? He was told that this place is Karbala. When Imam Hussein, he heard this, and one narration said that Imam Hussein, he raised his hands and he began to recite this dua. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-karbi wa bala. That, oh Allah, I seek protection from you, from calamities and trials. Wa hadha mawdi'u karbin wa bala. And this is the place of trials and calamities. This is a place of death. And then Imam Hussein, he looked towards his companions and he told them, Enzilu, come down, come off of your horses. Enzilu, hahuna, wallahi, mahatta rikabina. He says, this is where our journey ends. Come down. Enzilu, hahuna, wallahi, mahatta. This is the place where our blood will be spilled. This is the place that our graves will be dug. Come down from your horse. Hahuna wallah subiyan harimuna. This is the place where our women, our children, our yatim, they will be held captive. They will be taken into captivity. Happy hadha haddathani jaddi rasulullah. My grandfather, he has told me this. He has promised me this. When Zainab al-Kubra, she heard this, these sayings from Imam Hussein, she came forward, Ya Akhi, oh my brother, Ya Akhi, hadha kalamu man qad aykana bin qatal. That what are these words? These are the words of someone who is certain of his death, that he will be killed. Wa qala la Hussein, na'am. Yes, yes, my sister, I am certain of my death. And then Zainab al-Kubra, she began to cry out, oh, what loss we will have with this the death of Hussein. When the women heard this, the women, they began to cry. And then it stated that they can hear Umm al-Kulthum, that she began to cry out, Umm al-Kulthum, Bada'at tunadi wa Muhammadan. Umm al-Kulthum, she began to cry out, Oh Muhammad, wa Muhammadan, wa Ali. Oh Ali, she began to call out to the Ahlul Bayt, wa Umma, wa Fatima, wa Hasana. Subhanallah, listen to the words of Umm Kulthum, that her heart breaks as she calls upon Fatima twice, wa Umma, oh my mother, wa Fatima, oh Fatima. Even Dili Umm Kulthum Misuze Baraya Fatima. Dilish Misuze Ke Pisani Fatima Kushtimise. So Dilish Misuze Ke Pisani Fatima. Yikish Tuyera Hame Madrish Bidun as Dunya Rav. Yikish Masmum Shude. Well, like an Imam Hussein. She saddened that Imam Hussein, he will be killed, that the last son of Fatima will be killed. One was martyred in the womb of Fatima. One was martyred by poison. But Imam Hussein, he will be killed by the sword, and his head will be decapitated from his body. One Hussein.